lonely sounding wind. It's the way it would be. All right, hour number two for you on this Friday evening. A lot of things going on, kind of a little shopping basket full of items that are interesting and of some import, because if you extrapolate from each one, you can understand the larger impact. Peter Bregan has come out and made, I think, only his second appearance since he was last on this program. He's been very quiet for, 2-3 months, something like that, because of this $25 million lawsuit. And he's talked about that. We have that listed. It's in news headlines, and I think it's under our names, but I'm not 100% sure. But anyhow, welcome back. And I think he's been very quiet since he was on this program, just a couple of appearances.
I would say you're right. He fell ill shortly after that last interview, which I think you're right, was probably 3 months ago now.
I think so.
And apparently, according to his latest update, he filled the listeners in. All three members of his immediate family came down with what they believed to be COVID. It had all the hallmark features of COVID. He was hospitalized for 5 days. And he describes a very nice nurse that was aware of his situation and flew from, I believe he said it was Chicago, and came out and stayed by his hospital bed or room the entire time he was there, standing guard, making sure there were no shenanigans
John O'Looney,
being carried
part
out.
Two.
Yeah. And he recovered. This last interview we did, I think it was yesterday or the day before, on his own platform there, America Out Loud. He sounded good. And he went into some detail about the lawsuit that Dr. Robert Malone has filed against him and his wife and also Jane Ruby. So it's worth listening to, if only to see the kind of character that this Dr. Malone is. Actions speak louder than words, and
People don't, people honestly, and I'm not talking about you dear friends out there, but the rank and file amongst the masses don't understand really who these people are in the larger sense. They don't understand Robert Malone. They don't understand any of the big name players. They get a few sound bites. They get a few concept ideas, but there's a lot of really dark and dirtiness about this whole effort to inform people, not only with misinformation, disinformation, but there's some real low blows out there. It's just not good. Bad times.
Definitely.
Bad times. Didn't we have something that I posted that Peter wrote about this? He did. It was about a week and a half ago. He wrote all about Malone and the lawsuit. And one of the key parts of what he wrote, there were many, he quoted from the lawsuit things that were in the lawsuit against him that he allegedly said verbatim. He never said them.
Yes.
That's his legal position. And he said, prove it. I never said that. So if we're to the point where the system is being used on the basis of making accusations against people about statements they made, which were never made, we're in real trouble here. It's in the courts.
Well, don't forget, his attorney, Stephen Biss, is it?
I don't know.
Has been reprimanded several times for filing frivolous lawsuits. So this is a legacy with this guy.
I've heard that. I look at the whole panorama of news and information in the alt world, so-called alt world. It's really should be the primary world, but it is so densely populated with phonies and frauds and agents provocateur. It's extremely daunting and difficult to make one's way through it. Now, we have a good handle on it, so it's not hard for us. But Unless you have a very sharp BS meter and you're well informed, you're going to be swept away with a lot of this garbage. Again, the latest scam, it's a scam concept, is that glyphosate, Roundup, is allegedly being dosed with snake, spider, and what was the other one?
Three kinds of venom.
Snail venom. That's it. You got it. Three kinds of venom in glyphosate, which is being sprayed on the crops to keep the weeds down and dead, but it goes into the crops. So theoretically, the idea is you're going to get venomized by eating produce, fruit, whatever. I mean, the average head of lettuce, iceberg lettuce, this is years ago, 15, 20, is sprayed 13 times before it's picked, harvested, and sent to retail outlets. So you're getting something that's been sprayed 13 times with herbicides, pesticides, now God knows what else. Some of the crops are GMO'd. You have no right to know. They're not going to tell you. So it's really getting to be difficult out there. Very tough.
Well, glyphosate has problems unto itself.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
You know, what it does to the microbiome, it disrupts that shikimate pathway, which we don't have a shikimate pathway, but our bacteria do, and this is how they synthesize a long list of different types of biochemicals and even some precursors to neurotransmitters and things of that nature that help us, well, exist on this planet. We do have a symbiotic relationship with the bacteria that live within us. And you want to take care of them, and glyphosate really does a number on them. And the other thing it does is it chelates minerals, so you're not getting the full complement of minerals that you should be getting when you eat food, because this stuff chelates them. It makes them unabsorbable, and it distorts the ratios of what can be absorbed versus what can't be absorbed. And probably most devastating is that it increases the transport of aluminum into the brain.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
So the aluminum is being sprayed upon us, most all of us, all the time, since the mid-80s. It's in the soil. It's in all the plants, in the crops, in the fruit plants, fruit trees that you rely on to get your fruit and vegetables from. So it's you're consuming aluminum. And now add to it what Erica just said.
Yeah. The magic transporter, glyphosate.
So, and there was...
Fortunately, aluminum isn't that difficult to get out of the body. Citric acid will do it. Silica, a particular form of silica will do it. Fiji water is purportedly able to mobilize the aluminum and get it out of the body very effectively.
Fiji water for our
Fiji,
listeners.
Fiji, yeah. Yeah, Fiji. It has a special form of silica in it that will bind to the aluminum and either carry it out or simply displace it so it can be eliminated. But again, citric acid will do the same thing. But, you know, you want to try to minimize your exposure. This is a toxic metal. Aluminum is neurotoxic, and yeah, it has a synergistic toxicity with mercury. If that's in the brain, it's nasty. And we are being sprayed with it. There's no question. It's everywhere.
There was a national study done on glyphosate in the environment and in the human microbiome. And I believe, if I remember correctly, that study said that essentially everyone shows glyphosate presence in some degree or another. It's in other words, it's identifiable in virtually everyone's microbiome. So,
it's pervasive now. It's everywhere.
Right.
So even if you're just trying to eat just organic, you're still going to get some. You know, it's in the water, it's in the air, almost unavoidable at this point.
I remember having was it Jeffrey Smith was on, yeah. And he was explaining that a lot of these farms, they'll come up kind of you know, within 10 feet of the next farm, and the fields are the same way. They're almost adjoined. And one farmer will be spraying the hell out of his crops or her crops with glyphosate, herbicides, and all the rest of them, pesticides, poisons. And it'll drift right across onto the organic farm next door. And the organic farm will be visited by an organic USDA inspector, and they'll find all manner of things in his or her crops that aren't supposed to be there to be certified organic, and they'll lose their certification. And there were lawsuits filed against farmers who were spraying some of these things because they weren't controlling, couldn't control the drift because it went onto the adjacent organic farm. So the whole thing is really difficult. That's why we do suggest local farms, local farmers markets. You're getting crops that are raised right in your area. It's not easy, but it's well worth the effort. It's kind of fun, too. Farmers markets can be fun. Yes. Okay. Next up, Lancet study on COVID vaccine autopsies finds that 74%, I think it's 74.9, let's say 75%, 75% of the fatalities in these autopsies that were done were caused by the vax, by the spike. That study was due to be posted. They notified everyone with a preprint. It's a Lancet review. 325 autopsies after COVID vaccination. 75% of the deaths caused by the vaccine. But the study was pulled within 24 hours. It was a preprint paper, as I mentioned, written, or certainly his name was on it, by Peter McCullough, along with Yale epidemiologist Harvey Risch and their colleagues at the Wellness Company, which is a huge supplement business now, in case you didn't know. It was published online Wednesday on the preprint site of the Lancet Medical Journal. But less than a day later, it was removed, and a note appeared stating, "This preprint has been removed by preprints with the Lancet because the study's conclusions are not supported by the study methodology." Funny.
Yeah. Well, we knew. When that came out on Wednesday, the chatter was that this is not going to be here for long. So hurry up, download it, circulate it, and they were right. And that's why we mentioned it on Wednesday.
It's been published somewhere. I had a link to it. I don't know. Most important thing, though, this really is an extrapolation of Dr. Arne Burkhardt's work in Germany, autopsying victims of the vax and finding out what was in them and what damage had been done and so forth. It's an extension of that. And you'll notice that almost everything Peter McCullough is now also the Wellness Company. And if you don't know about the Wellness Company, it's a giant supplement industry, a major superstore pushing out supplements around the clock. Some of them are helpful. Do you need all of them?
I don't know if they're devoted to supplement. They do have some of their own supplements, but I think they're mostly intending to do what the FLCCC is doing in addressing this desperate need to treat vax-injured people.
With prescriptions.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the FLCCC is doing the same. The need is overwhelming.
Well, you've got 80% of America is, I think, if they received a viable injection, they're injured by definition. They may not feel it yet, but that's a lot of people. It's a huge number of people. And that's
their
just
needs
in
are
the
not
US.
Being met.
No.
I don't know. At least somebody's paying attention to these people. That's something.
Just from that paper that was not allowed to be posted yet, they'll probably just bring it out. They may already have done so on their own sites. Just read two quick paragraphs here. Research for all published autopsy and necropsy reports relating to the COVID-19 vaccination up until May 18th, 2023. We initially identified 678 studies, and after screening for our inclusion criteria, included 44 papers that contained 325 autopsy cases and one necropsy case. Three physicians independently reviewed all the deaths and determined whether COVID-19 vax was the direct cause or contributed significantly to those deaths. Findings? The most implicated organ system in COVID-19 vax-associated death was the cardiovascular system, 53%, followed by the hematological system, 17%, the respiratory system, 8%, and multiple organ systems, 7%. We're going to talk about multiple organ systems a little later. Three more organ systems were affected. The hematology, though, was a big thing. We just spent time on the last program talking about blood and how the blood is the primary target of these bioweapon injections. The mean time from vaccination to death was 14.3 days. The mean time, 14.3 days after you get shot up. And you're gone if you were in that group. Most deaths occurred within a week from the last vax administration. Now, that said, there's a new booster vax coming out. It's almost here. What do you know?
They're getting it ready. As I said, was it a couple weeks ago in June, the FDA had that advisory panel meeting, 8 hours long, and there was quite a bit of talk about manufacturing a booster for the current variants. Novavax is going to get in on the game again. And they were hoping to get it ready by maybe July, but certainly by the fall. Now, I believe, is it Moderna's already applied?
Yes.
For authorization or approval or something. They already have a candidate. And then I heard on the news tonight, this was Mark Siegel on Fox News talking about, Americans are really not very well protected right now with COVID.
Listen to this, friends. Listen, this is really something.
Okay, so the propaganda is starting, which we knew it would. That was one of the concerns at the FDA panel, was that not enough people are going for these boosters. So we're going to have to encourage them to do so one way or another. But then the lies start with this Dr. Mark Siegel, and that he said these vaccines are tremendous benefit. They are curtailing severe disease and hospitalizations. We wouldn't be where we are if we didn't have these miraculous.
Unbelievable.
It really was. And then he kind of trivialized some of the injuries by saying all vaccines have some side effects. And he spoke of somebody who had face droop, which is what, Bell's palsy, after having it shot.
Paralysis of half the face. That's right.
Yeah, no big deal. Just half your face is drooping. And he said, we initially thought, well, it's probably the COVID shot. But no, we determined that it was actually the flu shot. So all vaccines can have side effects. And, this is no different. And these vaccines are really, truly a godsend. We would not be out of this pandemic if it were not for these vaccines. So
choose your media whore. There's plenty to choose from.
Incredible.
Liars, frauds. There's not one serious study that I know of that can back up what you just reiterated there.
Nothing.
Everything is going to the opposite direction in the extreme. Unreal. Findings, the most implicated organ system in the COVID-19 vaccine-associated deaths, all the deaths, was the cardiovascular system, 53%. So heart, wow. I guess that includes your arteries, your veins, blood vessels, clots, the whole thing. The hematology issue is your blood, which is, as Erica, one of the first things she ever said on this program was that the blood is the primary target. So hematology has to be constantly kept in mind. And when, if you looked at the video that we shared with you on the last program, that's destroyed hematology. That blood is ruined. Awful.
You know, it's interesting. For all the specialists that people, vax-injured people, consult as they try to wend their way through their misery, hematology does not come up at all.
No. You don't hear the word.
And I don't know how many of these people that are stricken with this just debilitating chest pain, and they go to the doctor, and if they're lucky enough to be evaluated, they determine that, no, there's no sign of any myocarditis or pericarditis, and yet they're still suffering this just intractable pain.
Right.
I don't know. Is it possible that that's something similar to acute chest syndrome, where that's something that you see in sickle cell anemia, where you develop these clots and plugs in the vessels that feed the heart, and mm-hmm. consequently you have chest pain?
Well, microclotting can be anywhere and is anywhere, so why not? I think it's possible. If you missed the video, look on the right side of the homepage. Look for the image of the spike protein. There are three of them that rotate. This is Jeff and Erica right there. Look to the third story. It says, shocker, fully vaxxed man comes home from surgery, sees his sutured wound open up and spew huge clots. It's right there, the video. I'll stop there, but don't miss that if you haven't seen it. You need to understand, this is all about blood, hematology, and how the blood is destroyed, and the plumbing that carries it to your vital organs, slowly but surely compromised and ultimately often destroyed. So not a good situation and not getting any better. And this new booster, which they'll probably call Arcturus, right? That's the new strain's name.
Yeah, that's one of the latest variant of concern.
Did you get your Arcturus booster yet? They're going to push this. Well, the doctor you quoted from Fox, and again, everyone, I hope you don't think Fox is your friend. It's not.
No.
It's not. No. None of that is. That's not reality. That is not reality. So no. Good catch on that one. You were supposed to see that or read it, whatever you did. That's sickening.
Oh, it is, especially given everything that's going on.
It's horrible. Okay. Multi-organ system disease and failure. There's a new name out now. They're going to call it COVAX, COVAX, disease. They should call it bioweapon disease, but they want to play games and call it COVAX disease. This is really grim news, especially for children, little innocent children whose parents have been brainwashed and are not able to engage in real serious thinking and analyses needed when you're a parent in this day and age, and they go ahead and get their children injected with this death in a needle. So what about multi-organ system disease, COVAX disease?
Well, this is pertaining specifically to children who have been vaxxed, or maybe vaxxed in the womb if their mothers took it. But they're suffering
exactly.
No end of, I mean, you name it. It can be anything.
Devastating.
As the name suggests, a multiple organ.
Pfizer report number 70. Introduced COVAX disease, a new class of illness that has arisen from the use of mRNA COVID vaccines. COVAX disease encompasses multiple pathological mechanisms, presents with multi-organ system involvement, and affects all age groups. This article will focus on the very negative medical impacts on children's health after receiving mRNA vaccines. Additionally, they're not vaccines. Sex-related effects will be presented. Now, I haven't gone through this to see how they talk about sex-related effects. I haven't had time, but that might be well worth your look. You have time, go to it. And I think It should be in guests. Let me take a quick peek. Okay. No, it's not there. It's up on the homepage in news, however. Bregan is there. You can watch Peter. California physician, we're going to get to that. Lancet study. Yeah, this issue of multi-system disaster, multi-organ system involvement is very big. I'm curious about what... Did you happen to read that? You didn't read that, did you?
I've scanned it. I think they're just comparing males versus females and the prevalence of certain conditions reactions.
Not the sex kills argument that we've been presenting?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, they're just looking at gender and the rates of injury.
Got it. All right. This is published on the Daily Clout, and it should be up in headlines right now. Okay. Now, here's one. A California doctor has been really put through the ringer. Dr. Michael Huang, H-U-A-N-G, a brave physician in communist Bolshevik California who treated vax-injured patients and wrote vaccine exemptions. So there's a little three-minute video here which we can play. Anything you want to add to this?
Yeah, this went viral today. It is the profile. This man speaks for himself. He was a doctor, well-respected doctor in California, and who was advocating for his patients from the beginning, I guess, of the pandemic, writing exemptions for masks and then proceeding on to, I assume, writing prescriptions for either HCQ or ivermectin, and then writing exemptions for vax. And he was since arrested and prosecuted, and he's taking a tour through his office, which is now empty, and mourning the loss of his career for telling the truth.
Yeah. Yep. First Amendment on life support right now. Believe it. Especially in California.
Well, everybody, this used to be my office. This is what happened when you decide to speak up, speak the truth, treat patients, help protect their job, help kids come off face mask. This is what happened when I say no, I will not hurt my patient. I will do the right thing. I'll tell people that this COVID disease is easy to treat, and the mask doesn't work. It's a tool to scare people.
Well, we have a different opinion about that. Certainly, we respect the doctor's view. It is a tool. There was a psychological aspect of it. It was taken out of the armory of things to frighten people with, and certainly masking up was one of them. But we think masks are worth the time, especially if you're not vaxxed. Well, even if you are vaxxed, because you have immune problems, you have VADs. You want to put that on to keep, even if it works only 10%, I'll take it. So to that regard, we ignore the psychological impacts of it. It's not a sign necessarily of servitude to the international globalists who run the show. It's a sign of really common sense, just like washing your hands when you get home, okay? Same thing. And we recommend the personal unit to wear around your neck. It's right on the homepage. It's only $130, I think. And it does throw out a stream of positive and negative ions, which will attach to various pathogens that come near you and drag them down to the ground by sheer physics. This weight binds up with them and takes them down. So we're in the doctor's office. Let's go back. It's an empty office, a big suite with treatment rooms and all that. There's not one stick of furniture left in it.
But this is what I get, an empty office. pulsing my practice. The state licensure. I don't care which state, maybe Idaho, Texas, Florida, they are all captured. If you ask anybody, any government agency in the U.S., will you please give me a license so I can practice medicine? It's like asking the mafia, will you please let me open up a hot dog stand and sell hot dog? Eventually, they're going to shake you down for money. If I ever practice medicine again, I will not ask any government agency for licensure because they are not to be trusted. This is very sombering, sad, but am I proud to have done what I did in the past 3 years? Hell yeah. If I knew that my office will look like this in 3 years, and you tell me and show me this video and say, hey, see that family right there? They need your help. If you were to see them, this is what your practice will look like. What would you do? I will do exactly the same thing I did in the past 3 years because I'm proud of it. I'm here to defend my liberty, my freedom, my patient's medical autonomy. I refuse to bow down to tyranny. I refuse to bow down to threat and intimidation. This chapter ends. Another chapter will begin. Don't know if I ever practice medicine again. If I do, it will be different. All right, Valley. Stay strong. Live long and prosper.
Yeah, one wonders how many other wonderful doctors have paid the ultimate professional price and lost their practices. He's not the only one. What he said was interesting, though. Lots of it was, but the part about Idaho, you say Idaho, Utah, Florida, Texas,
yeah.
I forget. He said they're all captured as well. Captured and controlled by the federal communist Bolshevik bureaucracy that is behind this whole bioweapon deployment on not only Americans, but people all around the world. This is a worldwide global effort to reduce the population. This is not a vaccination. He knows it. Many doctors know it, but they don't want to lose everything like this gentleman has. And that video is under our names in guests. You can take a look at it anytime. And I'm sure there are a lot of physicians listening right now who understand the stakes for being honest. They get it. Wow.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that before. That was very sobering. Medical boards. Wow. Just like school boards.
Really?
Crazy.
It's incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
And all this about a virus that in the beginning... And yes, there are such things as viruses. A virus that had a 99.99975% survival rate with zero treatment.
Right.
What is it now? It's morphed. It's different. I don't know what the percentages are now. It's not killing
people.
I think
it's... No, it's not really. Well, it can. It can.
It can, but it's not. That's not its usual MO. No.
We have multiple things going on here. There's no question. There's whatever is being shed in the vax. The virus is still here. The virus is still evolving and spreading. But I also think that we have the reawakening of latent viruses in people that are spreading. We hear a lot about these herpes viruses and the shingles outbreaks. I mean, shingles are just at epidemic proportions now. But another one we hear about occasionally is Epstein-Barr. That seems to be another one. And it, like shingles, is a herpes virus that once you get it, you never get rid of it. You can just keep it in check if your immune system is healthy. But right. Whatever is circulating now, whether it's the virus or this poison coming off the vaxxed spike protein and whatever else is in there, it's doing a number on people's immune system, even the unvaxxed, so that they are now becoming more susceptible to whatever else is in the environment, their own viruses, other viruses. And one that we haven't really talked about or heard much about is cytomegalovirus, which, CMV. Again, is another herpes virus.
Yeah.
And most people have it by the time that they're, I don't know, middle age. Probably 60% of the population has it. And certainly by the time they're 80, they almost always will have it. But again, it's you can be infected with it and have no symptoms. It typically isn't problematic unless you're immune suppressed. And when you are immune suppressed and it reawakens, it actually replicates in, guess where? The endothelial cells.
And oh, interesting.
Consequently,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, what a coincidence, right?
Yeah.
And so if you have a active cytomegalovirus infection, that can certainly inflame the blood vessels, and probably in a similar manner than the spike protein is, or the virus, and cause all kinds of complications. No one's testing for that.
No.
And even if they did detect it, what are they going to do?
What are they going to do? There's another angle to this, beside the very deleterious viruses you mentioned, Epstein-Barr, Spender. I would consider that cancer should be included in that. I think viral issues are very heavily involved with cancers and of many kinds. So I would put that in the group too, cancer.
Definitely, definitely. Yep. Yeah. It's a mess.
Okay.
It's a real mess. There's no testing being done to try to, I don't know, just gain an understanding of what is making people sick at this point.
No. Thank you for saying that. You're right. There is a scarcity, if not a complete void, a vacuum, of areas that ought to be given and be given right now a lot of priority. To decode this bioweapon, if there were really any freedom left in the world of biological sciences, people would be after this shot. They would understand right away that it's not a vaccine, and they would try to waste no time in decoding it to come up with something, but it's not being done. And if it is, those people are going to be dead professionally.
Yeah.
They're going to be wiped out, gone. You can't do that. Don't get in the way of global genocide, or you're going to pay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go over and look at some of our human anecdotal reports of people who are dealing with the tragedy of this shot. And just remember, no more needles. Don't get any shots. I mean, if you're in ICU, you've been in an auto wreck, and you're not able to make the decisions, you're going to get stuck. But if you have any kind of control over that, just don't get any needles, no more. I'm not saying that everything in the needles is going to be impregnated with this death, but it's just not a good idea.
Well, I would say particularly with anything that they're calling a vaccine now, I think, and I've heard this from many people, the tetanus shots that were given, in the years before this scamdemic thing started, was very, very suspect. And I would say they still are. I mean, I just don't understand when a young woman goes to a doctor's appointment, routine doctor's appointment, why she's being offered a tetanus shot.
Makes no sense. Crazy.
No.
Say no. No, you don't need it. You do not need a tetanus shot. Now, in Nigeria, the other side of that, DPT, diphtheria has killed over 80 people in Nigeria in the last week or two. So there's a blast from the past coming back. They'll do whatever they want. They own the media. They own medical science. And they basically own the herd. They'll treat the herd however they wish. We are the herd. And the trick is to wake up to that fact and step out. Step back and get away. All right. Let's look at some of our tales of woe. There's a lot of bad things out there. Pets dying from shedding. Now, this was, a lot of people tended to mock this early on, unless they had lost a pet. But pets are eminently at risk in terms of shedding. I don't know which these are. I haven't read any of these, but Erica assembles them. But why don't you go ahead and do that? That might be interesting.
Okay, many pets are dying from vaxxed owners. It's ruined some vets' clinics and kennels already, many cats. Someone responds, true. I know a couple, fully jabbed, and both their young pugs died of heart attacks, and now the husband has throat cancer.
Okay, don't write that off as some coincidence.
No.
Just don't. Our friends, our little friends, sometimes our best friends, need to be protected. They have no idea about any of this, never will, of course. You have to take care of your pet. In other words, if you're out with your dog or cat, some people take their cats for a walk, don't let people come up and stroke them, touch them. Don't do it. Say, please don't touch my dog. He might bite. Whatever. Just stop it. And I'm saying that, assuming that you're not vaxxed. If you are vaxxed, you've been shedding on your pet. And every time you get a booster, you're going to shed more.
Yep.
Simple fact. All right. What do you want to go to here? Shedding consequences?
Well, we've got one more comment to that pets.
Oh, good. Okay.
Issue.
There it is.
Someone says, this actually happened to me. Both my Maltese, they were elderly, but they used to go to a groomer who was all vaccinated.
Ah, geez.
Shortly after, one went blind almost instantly and had diabetes really bad, and his Cushing's disease became 10 times worse. The other one suddenly couldn't walk anymore, and I had to put her in a wheelchair. It lasted about a year and a half, and then they both passed to 4 months within each other. Thankfully, they were both senior dogs. Still, it was terribly painful. And I wish I would have known how dangerous it was to send them to that groomer. I wouldn't have done it, of course.
See, the person didn't understand shedding. Simple.
I don't think really anybody did early on.
No.
And not still to this day. Severity of it.
No. The denial factor is still huge. I go out occasionally to the store. I have to once a week, like everyone, once every 10 days. And I wear a mask, and I was the only person in the store with a mask on. And I had my little personal Valera unit around my neck and gloves, and there was no one else like that. They want things to be normal. That's human nature. And the controllers knew all this. They knew everything about human nature and how this would play out. Nothing was left to chance. That's sad. But you have to be your pet's ultimate protector. You have to be. Otherwise, your pet doesn't have much of a chance. Okay,
yep.
Next.
You
vaxxed.
Pick.
Vaxxed from sex. All right, let's go do this one. Let's see what this is about. Original poster. Hi, all. Just wondering if anyone knows whether there's secondary shedding impact. And someone responds, it's highly possible. I got shedding symptoms from family non-vaxxed who had in-laws staying with them who were fully vaxxed, and the family got sick really badly. I'm going to read that again. It's highly possible I got shedding symptoms from family non-vaxxed that had in-laws staying with them who were fully vaxxed, and that family got sick very badly. They, of course, said it was COVID-like when I was around my non-vaxxed family members who had been sick. Well, I could sense shedding symptoms, and I had to get out of there really fast. So I would say yes. Now, long term, I have no clue at this stage what will go on. The thing is, they don't believe in shedding. They, of course, think any sickness they get is random. So they keep on with the close contact of the vaxxed. Time will tell on this. They have been warned from the beginning about all this, but took no notice. God will protect them, they say. I say, well, God doesn't suffer fools who will not help themselves and put themselves in danger all the time either. Also, remember, my people die for lack of knowledge. They don't like that being said to them when they get all preachy. Yes, God mm-hmm. apparently said that somewhere in the scriptures too. I don't know. Let's see here. Oh, there's a tiny little tag on this. Someone adds, hi all, just wondering if anyone knows where there's secondary shedding an impact for those who are intimate with one another. That was the original post, I guess. It was out of sequence here. This woman is asking about intimate contact. We've been very specific about that for quite some time. Sex can kill. We're at that stage now, seriously. And don't even think about the act of reproduction itself. Think about kissing and swapping body fluids. Sweat. Doesn't matter. It's all there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not vaxxed and you're engaged with someone who is vaxxed, you've got a problem. Big problem. Okay.
Yes, you do.
Your choice.
How about...
Ladies next.
How about this iron infusion?
Good.
I'm following a group right now that because of the prevalence of this anemia that many people are having that is related to both the virus and obviously the vaccine injection, there are a lot of people suffering anemia. And consequently, there are just an explosion of support groups for people. So I've taken out some interesting comments. As we've talked, we know it's debatable how much an iron supplement or an iron infusion is going to help in this situation, because the anemia is not typically due to a lack of iron. It's due to the body withholding its iron because it's in a state of inflammation and believes that it's being invaded by opportunistic pathogens or whatever. So it sequesters its iron, and which leaves the person anemic if it goes on long enough. But the fact of the matter is they typically have plenty of iron stored away in their organs and tissues, particularly if they're males and particularly if they're older. But judging from the size of some of these anemia support groups now that have just grown exponentially in the past couple of years, people are under the impression or the belief that it is due to iron. And it's interesting watching. I just cringe when I see people taking iron, thinking that that's the solution to this problem.
They know little about all this. They don't understand.
Right. I mean, there's many different types of anemia. I mean, or it can come about for different reasons. And to have a knee-jerk reaction and assume that it's because I don't have enough iron, that can really precipitate a lot of unintended consequences, very dire consequences. What will happen in these situations is you can end up feeding bacteria inadvertently, whether it's in the gastrointestinal tract or if it makes it into the bloodstream. A lot of times your body will not allow you to absorb iron from your diet when it's in this type of situation. So then people resort to these infusions of iron, which can be just really devastating. Really devastating, and set the stage for cancer and sepsis and just all kinds of things. So I've taken just one comment here. I should add, too, that there was an interesting comment among some women in the group, young women, that noticed what, when they started these treatments with iron, their menstrual cycle started early and was very, very heavy. And so, wow, you know, gosh, that's exactly what these women are saying post-vax. So, again, here's another clue that iron, the iron issue, is very prominent with the bioweapon illness. I don't know if the body's trying to dump iron, that this is a way of the body getting rid of iron. It is. But following the injections, many women are having this issue where they have these very heavy periods or nonstop periods for weeks or months at a time. And isn't it a coincidence that when some of these women start iron therapy, well, the same thing's happening? Anyway, this is just one comment that was posted in the group with a couple responses. This is a woman talking. Has anyone experienced racing heart and shakiness when taking iron on an empty stomach? I know non-heme iron is best absorbed on an empty stomach. Non-heme means it comes from plants. It's not bound to the heme protein that you would get in a piece of meat. Mm-hmm. But I experience these symptoms. Maybe heme iron with food is the way to go for me personally, but I was looking for an iron supplement with higher dosage. I also wanted to diversify my iron supplementation. Any thoughts, feedback? One person says, be careful about taking iron on an empty stomach. Most irons are very irritating. I use Ferripro or Ferramax, and both are gentle. And another woman says, I had the same experience first time, but after it was okay, and now I take 1 hour after meal, and I'm okay. So we'll see how this goes. Yeah. I shudder when I look at the, I mean, one of the groups has about 85,000 people in it, and it was only just started.
That's a huge group. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. We're just about out of time.
Okay.
We've been saying this. Erica has been prominent and the only voice out there warning about iron. You don't need to take iron supplementation unless you have a very
sophisticated.
Yeah, you've got to be evaluated unless you have a very strange diagnosis, and there are some instances. But for the random person to be popping iron pills, no, you don't want to be doing.
No, it's a bad idea. As I said the other day, I've said it many times now. Iron feeds bacteria. All bacteria need iron to replicate. So providing them a fuel source for that makes them very happy, and then it's also a huge risk factor for cancer.
There you go.
Transforming cells, damaging DNA mm-hmm. from the oxidative stress, and then promoting it, keeping it a fuel source, oxygen, and then progression, allowing it to spread.
Yeah. Okay, that's it for our program tonight on this Friday. Thank you all for being here. Hope this has been helpful. Remember, share these programs, spread them around, do your own research, make your own decisions. Don't follow those who would otherwise purport to be the most knowledgeable and wise on the big screen down there. Lots of them out there. We have the answers, they'll tell you, but no, they don't. All right. Thank you. Well done, as always. Have a good weekend. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be right back with another hour on this Friday night.